Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Irish Milkshake Murder by Carlene O'Connor, Peggy Earhart, and Liz Ireland. Narrated by Callie Bollier. Irish Milkshake Murder, Carlene O'Connor. Chapter 1. Henpecked. Tara Meehan didn't want to disappoint her dear friend Brianna Cunningham, but if she had any doubts about going wild before her wedding, the plastic penis wand Brianna was waving in her face way too enthusiastically solidified her decision. No hen party for her. At least Brianna had waited until Tara's last customer had finally left the store, empty-handed, before whipping out the party favors. The customer, an older woman, had picked up a set of antique brass doorknobs, held them up and put them down again at least a dozen times. "I love these," she said. "If only I had a door for them." Tara knew better than to try and sell her a door to go with them, because then she would say she needed a house, and Tara was not a realtor. That was life in the architectural salvage business. Tara set about closing her shop as Brianna trailed after her, poking her with that ridiculous party favor. "I'm too old for a hen party," Tara insisted. "Way too old. 35. Ancient." Brianna put the wand down on the counter, picked up the doorknobs, and held them to her chest. "Did you see your one? She was holding knobs up to her knockers." Brianna wiggled them and howled with laughter. "You are such a child," Tara said, but she couldn't help but laugh. It was an accurate imitation. "See," Brianna said. "It's fun to be silly." She placed the doorknobs back in the old Guinness barrel. Located just off pedestrianized Shop Street, Tara's beloved shop, Renewals, was 500 square feet of eclectic treasures and had a back patio. Tara had painted the walls a lovely shade of mint green that popped against the bamboo floors. Display cabinets featured hand-picked items, and several old Guinness advertising signs hung on the walls. White orchids topped flat surfaces. Sculptures stood in every corner, and fireplace accoutrements were set up near the small, working fireplace, which was flanked by stone lions. On the mantel, she displayed brass and iron candle holders. Pottery from the 1800s was gathered in one section, and vases, tiles, and antique fixtures in another. The rustic cabinet by the register was filled with estate jewelry. A small section of crystal glassware occupied shelves in the middle. More old doorknobs and decorative knockers were laid out on an old wooden barrel with Jameson carved on the side. On the patio, larger architectural items, such as wrought iron gates, were stacked up against the back of the building, along with garden sculptures and fountains. Tara had kept the shop afloat a few years now, and even the locals were starting to accept that the New York transplant was here to stay. "My work is serious enough. I need to play," Brianna said. She was a clerk at the Galway Garda station, and, to be fair, it probably was a stressful job. Tara was grateful every day for the opportunity to do something she loved. Tara laughed, picked up a glass bowl filled with chocolates, and offered one to Brianna. "Between the knockers and your little wand, I'd say you had a good run at playing today." "You're never too old for a hen party," Brianna said with conviction as she plucked out several pieces of chocolate. "You won't have to do a thing. I know the perfect venue." "I'm getting married on Paddy's Day," Tara said. That's enough revelry for me. She could not believe Danny had talked her into that. Then again, Danny O'Donnell could be quite persuasive. That Irish charm. Tara was starting to think it was more of a curse than a blessing, at least when it came to him getting his way. He'd insisted that St. Patrick's Day was the luckiest day of the year, and then he added that they would need all the luck they could get. Technically, priests did not perform ceremonies on holidays, so this meant there would actually be two wedding ceremonies, and even that didn't faze Danny. After years of shying away from commitment, he was now all in. She was starting to suspect his date of choice was all because of the St. Patrick's Day parade. Her husband, Bea, loved a good parade. The wedding was 3 weeks away. Insane. And Tara didn't feel ready. Did anyone ever feel ready? You haven't heard the best part of my evil plan, Brianna said as she steepled her fingers and wiggled them, villain style. Listen, I appreciate that you want to celebrate with me, but all we need is each other and boozy milkshakes. Brianna loved boozy milkshakes. Hopefully that would chase all ideas of a wild bachelorette party out of her friend's poor, misguided head. Brianna was not undaunted. Don't you want to know the best part? No. Tara grabbed her handbag and gestured for Brianna to step out before she flipped the switch and plunged renewals into darkness. Outside, it was windy and cold. They were still on the lion's side of March. As Tara locked up and headed for Shop Street, Brianna kept stride with her. It's too late. Your hen party is already booked, and your friend Rachel is flying in today from New York. Rachel? Tara came to an abrupt stop. What friend, Rachel? Brianna cocked her head. Rachel Madigan. Rachel Madigan? Rachel Madigan was another interior designer in New York City. Tara didn't consider Rachel a close friend. How did Brianna know Rachel? And Danny and his groomsmen are coming too, Brianna nattered on. We're going to the Aran Islands, where I've rented a cottage. We'll leave in the morning. And that, Tara told herself on her stroll by the Galway Bay back to her flat, was why you never tried besting an Irishman. Or woman. Tara hadn't even bothered to tell Brianna that she hadn't seen or talked to Rachel in years. Why had Rachel even agreed to come? If Rachel Madigan was just in it for a weekend in Ireland, this was going to be the worst hen party ever. It was Thursday evening in Doolin, and the last chartered boat of the day was headed out to Inishmore, the largest of the three Aran Islands. The boat, a small ferry, was white with the name Captain Mickey emblazoned on it in red. Rachel had only met up with them a few hours ago in Galway, and given they were in a group setting, Tara had yet to ask her why exactly she was here. Was she under the impression that Tara had extended the invite via Brianna? Rachel seemed to be excited about being here and did indeed greet her as if they were long-lost friends. She'd given her a big hug, remarked how amazing she looked, and then proceeded to tell them how she'd followed Tara's progress with her salvage shop online and how utterly thrilled she was that Tara was getting married. There was no mention of the fact that Rachel wasn't invited to the actual wedding. Tara had decided to keep her invites local. She'd been cocooned in her work and family since moving here and didn't want her friends stateside to feel pressured into attending. And, truth be told, She hadn't worked very hard to hang on to her old life. It almost felt as if it belonged to someone else. As usual, Rachel was slim and stylish, even in jeans and a sweater, or denims and a jumper, like they say here. Unlike Tara, who had black hair, Rachel was a platinum blonde and still perky. Brianna, who had wavy chestnut hair and a curvy body, had the girl-next-door thing going for her, not to mention that lovely Irish accent. The three of them had already made a few heads turn when they walked by. "Grit," Danny said under his breath. "I'll be beating men off ye with a stick, so." Rachel laughed. "Keep that stick away from my men," she said. "I'm still a single gal." "You can use it to beat mine into submission," Brianna said. "Then shove them into the boot of the car and I'll take care of it from there." She threw her head back and laughed, making her curls bounce. "I love her," Rachel exclaimed, looping her arm with Brianna's. Brianna grinned. "What's not to love?" "There they are," Danny said, pointing further down the dock where his mates Mark and Tom stood, sporting big grins. Mark was lanky and nerdy. Tom was tall, beefy, and from the mad look on his face, ready to party. He wore a green rugby jersey with the number 13 on it. Tara found herself wondering if he was just asking for bad luck. Then again, maybe the lucky Irish thing balanced it out.
"Was she surprised?"
Mark called out. "You got me," Tara said. "And you're all going to get it."
"Wait," Rachel said. "We're going to have a bachelorette party with your husband-to-be and his groomsmen?"
"Not necessarily," Danny said. "It's not a big island, but we can still hide."
He winked at Tara. Tom leaned in and wagged his finger at Rachel. He was a bear of a man with a goatee, and his voice was always the loudest in any room.
"It's going to be great crack," he said. "You'll be begging to join us."
"Crack?" Rachel asked, her expression horrified. "The Irish word crack," Tara explained. "It just means they're going to have fun."
"Oh,"
Rachel seemed to think about this.
"I want crack," she said. "Blondes just want to have crack." "In that case, maybe you should join us," Tom said.
He threw his arms open.
"You're tall enough to ride this ride."
Tara groaned and rolled her eyes at Tom. It just made him grin and wink. She expected a sarcastic response from Rachel, a no-nonsense New Yorker. Instead, she was shocked when a schoolgirl giggle erupted from her. Tara had forgotten. To outsiders, the Irish accent was a panty dropper.
"We should join forces, then," Rachel sang. "This way, Tara can keep an eye on Danny."
Mark, the lanky one who usually had his nose in a book, even at the pub, pushed his glasses up and cleared his throat. His gaze fell on a pair of lads standing a few meters away. They were drop-dead gorgeous, identical twins. Tall, with dark hair, probably somewhere in their 20s. They were even dressed identical in denim, black t-shirts, black tap shoes, and green blazers. As Tara's group looked on, the pair began to tap dance in unison, Irish dancing style. Mark scooted in.
"Do you know who that is?"
He jerked his head to the lads.
"I'd certainly like to," Rachel said. "Look how sharp they look."
"I cannot believe me eyes," Brianna said. "It's them."
"They look like babies," Tara said.
"Hot babies,"
Rachel and Brianna said in unison. Tara couldn't help but feel a little left out. The pair of them were already bonding.
"Hotter than us?"
Tom said, patting his belly and looping his arm around a grimacing Mark.
"This is our lucky day," Brianna said. "Do you know who they are?"
"Competition," Danny said. He grabbed Tara's hand. "Let's elope, right now." Tara laughed and retracted her hand.
"Who are they?" she asked Brianna.
"The Irish dancing twins," Brianna said. "Oh, my word. Are they going to be on our boat?"
"No," Danny said. "This is a private charter." He grinned at Tara.
"Surprise!"
"How many more surprises can I expect?" Tara said.
"None," was the only answer she wanted to hear.
"And you didn't want a party," Brianna said, clapping her on the back. "You're welcome."
As if on cue, a boat horn sounded from Captain Mickey's. An older man with a long white beard stepped onto the dock.
"All aboard," he said. "That is, if you're here for Danny O'Donnell and Tara Meehan's pre-wedding shenanigans."
Tara groaned as Rachel and Brianna cheered.
"Excuse me."
This came from one of the dancing twins. Everyone turned as the twins approached.
"I'm Dave, and this is my brother Noel."
Dave was standing to the left, Noel to the right. Noel was wearing a gold cross, but Dave was not. That would help keep them straight. Tara bet they hated when people mixed them up.
"We know who you are," Brianna said, pushing her way through the group to get in front. "We love you."
The twins flashed easygoing grins.
"You're too kind," one said.
"They're going to be competing with each other on Dancing with the Stars," Brianna said. "Isn't that fabulous?" she squealed. "You're going to be international stars."
"One of us will," grinned Noel. "My money's on me."
"I take it you follow our Insta," Dave said. From his expression, he wasn't too happy about it.
"I follow you everywhere," Brianna said, clasping her hands. "I'm addicted to ye."
She laughed, and then when she noticed they were simply staring at her, she stopped and cleared her throat.
You know, in a cool, non-creepy sort of way.
"We missed our boat," Noel said, "because this one needs every hair in place before he leaves the house."
"That's not why we missed the boat," Dave said.
"We missed the boat because you can't tell time."
"You're the one who can't turn down an autograph," Noel said. "We would have been on time if you hadn't stopped to scribble your name on some woman's cleavage."
Tom shook his head and looked at his feet as if he'd just lost his best friend.
"I'm in the wrong profession."
"Wow," Rachel said, craning her gaze to the sky.
"Is that normal?"
Dark clouds threatened overhead.
"I told you, Danny," Mark said. "A storm is coming in. A big one."
"A storm?" Rachel said. Tara studied the clouds.
"Maybe we should postpone."
"Not a chance," Brianna said. "You know weathermen. It's never as bad as they predict."
"Don't worry," Tom said, looping his arm around Rachel. "I'll protect you."
Tara couldn't help it. She scoffed. Heads turned her way.
"Rachel's a tough New Yorker. She can handle herself."
"When it comes to the Irish weather, I'd say she might need a big man to hide under," Tom said amiably.
"Everyone was right,"
Rachel said, grinning.
"Irish people are so friendly."
Tom grinned.
"I'll be as friendly as you like."
"What would your wife say to that?"
Mark said. Tom shot him a dirty look.
"Ex-wife," he said. "At least she will be."
His expression turned dark.
"You're not trying to win her back, then?" Mark persisted. "It's over, like."
"It is so," Tom said.
"But if she thinks she's cleaning me out in the divorce, she has another thing coming."
"Anywho," Dave said,
Long story short, do you mind if we hitch a ride?
The wind picked up. Should they trust this Captain Mickey?
We have to dance tomorrow at the pub on Inishmore, Noel added. One of our last dances together before this one wins Dancing with the Stars and leaves me in the dust. We'll dance for our passage, Dave said.
He broke into a little dance and Noel joined in. They were fabulous. Maybe it would be fun to have them aboard.
Absolutely,
Rachel said at the same time Mark and Tom said no.
Inishmore, Brianna exclaimed. That's where we're headed. Of course she can ride us,
Tara nudged her.
Ride with us,
Brianna corrected. A horn wailed. Captain Mickey stood on the deck, waving them up.
All aboard! We'd better get a move on if we're going to beat this storm.
Tara threw another glance at the sky. Maybe this isn't a good idea, she said. Danny looped his arm around her shoulder. All me best memories start with really bad ideas. Chapter 2 Row, row, row your boat. Tara had to hand it to the Irish dancing twins. Even with the choppy waters, as the boat bounced over the wild Atlantic Ocean, they were able to maintain their dancing rhythm. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap.
Talented and gorgeous, Rachel said. Can we hire them to follow us around all weekend?
Where's the bride-to-be?
Noel said. Tara, shocked, looked up. He crooked his finger in a come-hither motion. He had bedroom eyes, dark hair, an athletic body, and dimples. Tara had an inkling they wielded their looks like a superpower.
How did you know I'm a bride-to-be? Tara asked.
Brianna whipped out a tiara, stuck it on Tara's head, and shoved a penis wand in her hand.
Hand party!
Brianna shouted. She and Rachel each took an arm, and they dragged Tara to the front row seats in front of the dancers. Noel and Dave began to gyrate their hips in unison, and soon their hands reached for their white button-down shirts. Before Tara could inform them, it really wasn't necessary, they had ripped them open. Shirt buttons flew in the air and clinked as they hit the deck. A pair of six-pack stomachs gyrated in front of her.
What's happening?
Danny said, staring at the twins' muscular physique with the expression one might expect from an old dog when a new puppy arrives on the scene.
Sorry,
Captain Mickey said, mistakenly assuming Danny's angst was directed at him.
It's going to be choppy for a spell.
How are those boozy milkshakes coming?
Brianna sang. Captain Mickey thrust his finger in the air.
Coming right up.
Shouldn't you be steering? Tara asked.
It was a big, angry ocean and a very tiny ferry. He should definitely be behind the wheel, or whatever it was they used to maneuver this thing.
Don't worry, lassie. I know when me boat needs me and when she doesn't.
He winked. The ferry lurched. Are you sure about that? Tara muttered under her breath. It was best not to insult him while he was making the milkshakes.
It's one of them,
Tom roared suddenly from the corner of the boat. He was pointing at the twins. Danny and Mark tried holding him back, but Tom broke free and charged toward them. They didn't miss a dancing step. In fact, they barely even glanced at him. He got in their faces.
One of you slept with me wife.
You're getting divorced,
Mark said unhelpfully from behind. Remember? Tom turned and glared at his friend.
Because one of them slept with me wife.
Which one?
Noel asked casually as they continued to dance.
I only had one wife,
Tom said. The twins laughed.
He meant which one of us,
Dave said. They were unbuttoning their pants. Stop, Tara said. We want the PG show.
You're no fun, Rachel said.
She was clutching a euro in each hand.
She's a wet blanket. Come, dance for me.
A wet blanket. Once more, Tara wondered what Rachel Madigan was even doing here. Taking over, it seemed. Making Tara feel like she was the boring, sensible one. Even if she was, it still stung. Hunting through estate sales and salvage shops, or exploring the Aran Islands under better weather conditions, sans drinking games and party favors, it would have been more her idea of a hen party. To each your own.
Tell me, Tom said, which one of you slept with me wife?
Soon-to-be ex-wife,
Mark said again. This time, when Tom glared at his friend, Mark's face turned the color of a beet. He mimed zipping his lips shut and throwing away the key.
How do you even know it was one of us? Dave asked.
Exactly,
Noel said. It could have been both of us,
he grinned. Tara stared at the cross on his neck and could only imagine what his sessions in the confessional were like.
He's joking, Dave said, for the most part.
Tom held up his mobile phone.
I know it was one of you because I texted her a photo of the two of you, just to rub it in like, and she said, I slept with one of them.
Why are you still texting her? Mark nagged.
You said you were only going to speak with her if there was an emergency with the kids, remember?
We sleep with a lot of wives, Dave said with a shrug. Nature of the job?
Your job is ruining marriages,
Tom said. He pointed to the cross.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
We don't have to conform to anyone else's rules to wear this, Noel said. I have no shame.
Morality isn't so rigid anymore, Dave said. We're not married. We don't seduce married women. They come on to us, believe me.
From our experience, Noel said, the fastest way to kill a romance is with marriage.
He glanced at Tara and Danny. No offense. Tara leaned into Danny. It's a good thing you aren't very romantic to begin with. Danny laughed.
Careful. I might toss you overboard. You can commune with all the little fishies.
Tara grinned. I rest my case.
Someone needs to straighten the pair of ye out,
Tom said, clenching his fists as he stared at the twins. No one is straightening anyone out today, Mark said, tugging Tom away from the twins.
You're over her. You swore to me you were over her.
Did you hire these idiots?
Danny asked Brianna.
Me, Brianna said. I would have if I'd thought of it.
Brianna grinned until she glanced at Tom and her smile evaporated.
No, I did not hire them.
Despite Tara's request, the twins' trousers were starting to come down. Tara waved her arms.
Keep your clothes on, she said. That's an order.
This time they shrugged and buttoned their pants back up.
You'll still tip us, right?
One of them said.
I'll certainly tip,
Rachel said, dangling her cash. They grinned and moved toward her. Tara turned to Tom. No fighting on the boat. Next, she headed for the captain, who was making a mess on the bar. Blenders, milk, a big bottle of Irish whiskey, mint ice cream, and whipped cream littered the counter.
Maybe you should concentrate on steering, she said as the boat lurched again. Pretty, please?
Right, he said, scrunching his face. But she did pay extra for boozy milkshakes.
I don't think any of us will be drinking in this weather. I'll take over, Brianna said. We're definitely drinking the boozy milkshakes.
Tara turned to Danny, but he was busy trying to calm down his friend. Rachel was flirting with the twins. Maybe we could continue the show in private. Tara heard her not really a friend say. There has to be a little...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?